there exists a general mix of uses in this area which consist of business, commercial, and multifamily use, and found multifamily appropriate. So nothing really in that area has changed in 2 years. What was true 2 years ago on that application is true today. So that application was not out of character with the area, and I think it's just logically to conclude that this application is not out of character with that area. Now, we believe that our proposed use is appropriate and in character with the general immediate area. This application complies with the comp plan and the recent update to the comp plan. Conditional uses for multifamily in this area, as I mentioned, has already been determined to be appropriate by prior council decisions, and our application complies with the applicable requirements of the zoning ordinance and state law. I have prepared proposed findings. I've also prepared proposed conditions, which I'll submit to you for your consideration. What I would like to do, not to take time, but since there are people here interested in this application, I'd like to read the conditions so they know what they are. Let's just take a moment. And again, for anyone who's not that familiar with this proceeding, a conditional use, you can place conditions on that approval that would be binding and be required to be complied with. Conditions I'm submitting, the proposed conditions: the maximum number of dwelling units should not exceed 6, comprised of 3 duplex buildings. All entrance, intersection, roadway, and multimodal improvements required by DelDOT shall be completed by the applicant in accordance with DelDOT's determination. The development shall be served as part of the Sussex County sewer system. The development shall be served by central water system operated by a licensed public utility company. Stormwater management and erosion and sediment control systems shall maximize groundwater recharge and shall be constructed in accordance with applicable state and county requirements using best management practices with regard to the construction and maintenance of these features. The interior street design shall be in accordance with or exceed Sussex County street design requirements and/or specifications. The applicant shall submit, as part of the Planning and Zoning Commission site plan review, a landscape plan showing the proposed tree and shrub landscape design. Landscape buffers shall be provided along the north and east boundaries of the site to shield adjacent properties. Construction site work, grading, and deliveries of construction materials, landscaping materials, and fill on, off, or to the property shall only occur during the hours of 7 a.m. and 6 p.m. The applicant shall form a homeowners association to be responsible for the maintenance of the street, buffers, stormwater management areas, and other common areas. Buildings shall be limited to 2 stories with a maximum height of 35 feet. A non-disturbance buffer shall be provided along the southern boundary of the property, following a line 50 feet from the ordinary high water line of Munchie Branch or the designated wetland line, whichever is greater. Street naming and addressing shall be subject to review and approval by the Sussex County Mapping and Addressing Department. And finally, final site plan shall be subject to review and approval by the Planning and Zoning Commission. And gentlemen, that would conclude everything I have to present, with the exception of any questions you may have.
Questions?
I don't see the conditions. That's all I have.
You can proceed.
Thank you.
Where are the conditions? I hear right. I got to get the conditions here. He hadn't got them all in
there. For anyone else present who would want to speak in support of this application, for anyone present who would like to speak in opposition to this application.
Opposition?
Any
There we go. Come on down. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, gentlemen and Ms. Griffith. My name is Kathleen Steitner, and I live directly behind the proposed site at 20100 Fieldcrest Drive in Fieldwood.
You live in the subdivision directly behind?
Correct.
Okay.
And I stand before you today in opposition of this conditional use request by Mr. Shagru that would allow the construction of more than one single-family dwelling on this 1.66 acres of land. As mentioned earlier, Mr. Lang said that he did receive both of my petitions that I have collected close to 140 signatures of residents, mostly from Fieldwood and from Shady Ridge Development, who also oppose this request, also from the people who do live on the Munchie Branch Road. My first concern is that the proposed six units or six families are inconsistent with the character of the neighborhood. And also, unfortunately, since Mr. Fuqua submitted his statements today, I wasn't able to review any of this new information that he proposed today. So my comments are as from the planning and zoning meetings hearing.
Thank you.
So my first concern, as I said, is the proposed six units. There are no condos nearby. The closest condos are 3/4 mile away, and they are Beach Haven and Seabright, and they are close to Route 1. This area in question consists of small housing communities, Truevale Acres, Breakwater, Piney Glade, Fieldwood, Shady Ridge, Curie Estates, and Aspen Meadows, all single-family dwellings, as well as homes that exist directly alongside of the Munchie Branch Road. Mr. Chagrou is proposing the three buildings with originally two units each, three-story high on 1.6 acres, not to exceed 42 feet in height. Inconsistent? Yes, very. The maximum height in the area is 26 to 28 feet for most current dwellings, and this would adversely impact the valuation of all the residences in this multi-development area. Today, he shows two stories, 35 feet, which is still inconsistent with the current dwellings. My second concern is for safety. First, let's consider the site itself. Chagrou's design shows no sidewalks. The Cape Gazette, in its July 25th, 08 edition, states that Shane Abbott, who is Assistant Director of the Planning and Zoning Commission, said new standards that were developed by the state of Delaware require sidewalks in all new subdivisions. It also states that this county is in the process of rewriting those standards and will probably require sidewalks in some new subdivisions based on lot and development size. I would like to know, is this proposed ordinance one of them? And if not, why not? Secondly, at the site plan also says that access to the three twin homes under note number 5, which is on that one, I believe on the reverse of that, note number 5 shall be from, access shall be from the internal subdivision only, and access to the site is via the entrance on Munchie Branch Road only. There is no exit area, only an entrance. So fire trucks, emergency vehicles, ambulances that enter this proposed subdivision must turn around in someone's driveway to exit or back out onto Munchie Branch Road to exit the subdivision. The plan proposes 3 cars per condo unit. The possibility of these cars being there when the fire truck or ambulance comes is real. They won't be able to turn around in a driveway. They will be forced to back out onto Munchie Branch Road. How about also delivery people, service trucks, visitors, all backing out onto Munchie Branch Road? Where is the handicap parking? Where is visitor parking? Looks very dangerous to me. The next safety concern is Munchie Branch Road itself. It's a narrow road with no shoulders, no sidewalks. Pedestrians, joggers, bicyclists must literally walk, ride, or jog on the road with the cars, or walk, ride, or jog on the grass. The state has deemed Munchie Branch Road the designated road to the Lewis Rehoboth Pedestrian and Bicycle Trail on Wolf Neck Road. From the Wawa on Route 1, additional traffic has been rerouted as visitors, locals, and tourists must use Munchie Branch to come through to go southbound on Route 1, all the while sharing the road with those bicyclists, rollerbladers, pedestrians, and increasing number of scooter drivers, all with no sidewalks, no shoulders. This rezoning would jeopardize the safety to all. Mr. Warner from Element Design stated at the planning and zoning hearing that no traffic study would be needed. There hasn't been one since 2006. I think it's definitely warranted now that the state has made Munchie Branch that designated road for the trail and for public safety. Thirdly is environmental and wetland concerns. I would like you to just take a moment to consider this. Part of this parcel is in an AE flood zone, which is in the 100-year floodplain. It is right beside the Munchie Branch Creek. The 50-foot wetland buffer should be started at the top of the bank and not in the middle of the perennial stream, as per the Element design has the buffer starting now in their plan. The proposed design has 3 property stormwater management sites. There is no site swale on the very last condo. So where is that runoff to go? I guess into my property, since I'm living right behind it. All three Mr. Warner said at the planning and zoning hearing would be allowed to run off into the Munchie Branch Creek via pipes, which could overflow into Mr. Gross's property and to Mr. Robinson's properties on the other side of the creek in Shady Ridge, where elevation is much lower than that of the proposed site. I can envision, should we get a storm or nor'easter like 1962, which could happen to these two properties, we will all know that 100-year floodplain records have been broken across the country, and it can certainly happen here as well. Where is the protection against contaminants? Will a liner or secondary liner be provided for each water management site to prevent contamination of the underlying groundwater, since the surrounding areas are all on well water? The majority of everybody is on well water around there, and now Mr. Fuqua says today that possibly Tidewater might do a well. Is this going to draw from my well, my water? As of July 8, 2008, there were 229 Rehoboth Beach and 168 Lewis townhouses and condos for sale. Mr. Warner stated at the planning and zoning hearing that Mr. Segru wanted two out of these six units to be used for his workers for his restaurants. Since his restaurants are in Rehoboth, possibly they could rent out two of the 229 or 168 condos rather than this inconsistent and safety hazard development as proposed here today. Perhaps Mr. Segru would consider building a second floor on top of his restaurants to house his workers. Mr. Segru is inconsistent for his desire for this property. Mr. Warner also stated at the planning and zoning meeting that Mr. Segru wanted the units to be used for first-time home buyers or rent-to-own home buyers. Do first-time home buyers want to live next to two units that may house many workers from restaurants? For these three reasons I've just presented to you and the 136 people who signed the petitions, inconsistency with the character of the neighborhoods, public safety on the site and on Munchie Branch Road, and environmental concerns to wetlands and neighboring properties, I hope you don't view this as a difficult decision, but a very easy one. Please reject this ordinance by Mr. Segru Big Trips LLC to grant the conditional use of this 1.66 acres for six-unit condo dwellings and keep it a single-family dwelling because this is not in accordance with the comprehensive land use plan and development that this council approved on 6/24/08 that promotes health, safety, morals, convenience, order, prosperity, and welfare of the present or future inhabitants of Sussex County. And thank you very much for your time.
Would you like to submit your comments into the record?
Once again, can I retype it and send them?
Well, you're sure.
Thank you. I'll try not to type those this time.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition to the application?
Hi, my name is Mike Robertson. I reside at 105 Shady Ridge, and right next to Munchie Branch.
Where is that in reference to, say, sir? Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah, that's cool.
Here, they sit between 17 and
20
feet above the top of Munchie Branch.
Okay.
They sit right here on
the cul-de-sac. Okay, you sit across. Okay, I just want to make sure I look at it right now. Gotcha.
I've attended all the meetings regarding this application to build multi-purpose dwellings on Shady Ridge Road. In the initial presentation of the application to the County Planning and Zoning Commission, I noted several inconsistencies addressed prior to the further progress of this application being approved or denied. The first Planning and Zoning Commission, there were letters of protest, including a petition with over 100 signatures asking that this application be denied. No one person spoke for this particular application. In what I see here, I think there's some problems with the calculations on the actual footprint of the buildings fitting on the 1.66 acres, and I think it was rather smoothed over by saying EDUs and so many that was allowed by your engineering people. What I see here is an actual footprint of a building. When you take these buildings here, do the footprint, do the blacktop, the runoff ponds, and the one missing one, has to be there. I do know what I'm talking about. I worked for the federal government for 30 years doing environmental, so I do know a little bit about what I'm speaking. These ponds, each one of them, are going, not really a pond, they're referring to them as a swale.
swales on a really heavy given day are going to drain down 17 to 20 feet straight out and down, right into Munchie Branch. I'll assure you what that's going to do to that small creek down there. When it goes to a flood status...
Sir, why don't you come back over so we can get you on the table, okay? Thank you.
When you're talking about heavy runoff out of a retention pond, and I doubt that there would be any kind of measures taken to keep it from going into the wetlands, and the purpose being it's tidal water, or it's not tidal water, you're using 50-foot mark from the center of the high point of the water.
Right.
50 feet will take out about 25 to 30 feet of those trees down there, so there will be tree removal. I don't know how they're going to do it because it is extreme wetlands. I've walked down there myself with a tape measure. We've had it shot off with a transit, and I've been right to my knees. So God forbid the kid that goes down there and plays, and they will.
Okay.
So I think there's some really miscalculations about that and as how these things are construed. Also, in the surrounding developments, which are, you know, Shady Ridge, Fieldwood, Truevale Acres, Breezewood, and Curious States, all of us have restrictions that we will not allow multi-use families. And I kind of disagree with Mr. Fuquay that this would be something that goes in here. All the developers that developed these said, no, multi-use buildings. We have it in ours. In fact, we just denied one on the corner about a year ago. And as stated before, my other concern was as little as 4 years.
I got a question. When you say deny, you apparently have a homeowners association?
Yes, we do. Shady Ridge Homeowners
Association. So it's within your own rules?
We have our own rules.
Okay.
And they were handed to us from the developer.
Okay, that's cool.
And each one of these developments
that was part of your deed restricted and all that kind of good stuff.
Yes, okay. Mm-hmm. It says they can't do that.
Okay.
Most of the values in there, or most of the homes in there, sit on quarter to half acre. And they range in price anywhere from $275,000 to $500,000. So we're not just a trailer. All that's changing, as you well know, if you drive around Sussex County. You don't see the old trailers. Once they're gone, they're being disposed of. They're coming in with new modulars and what have you. It's going away. I'm afraid that this may result in low housing, low income housing, because we're still waiting on you guys to get the grass cut down there. For almost a year now, that grass is this tall. Mm-hmm. It's over my waist. If we can't even get the grass cut down there, how am I to believe that this particular thing is going to be a benefit to the neighborhood? And it's all on record back there, the number of people who call just to get the grass cut. And I think that's a pretty major thing when you're talking about having six families. And I never knew of a lending institution that would refer to an apartment as a first-time homeowner. A home is not an apartment.
Are you opposed if they did just single-family homes here?
The single-family homes would be a little bit better, yes. But you still have an entrance and a regress problem there based on the way it's laid out now. If you put six apartments in there, you take the top of the roofs, the square foot of those, plus the footprint of the blacktop of the entrances and the driveways and the runoff ponds, you don't have room for those.
Well, you do understand this is just a preliminary, and
that
soil conservation does that for us, then
right.
We have to take their word for it.
But what I can't understand is, I've gone through the planning and zoning, I've heard what was presented, and to look at an actual drawing like that, and then to sit and just basically do some calculations, how did it ever get to you guys? That's my real question.
Mm-hmm.
This shouldn't even be happening, not right at the moment. This is something that we've all been hearing about, and geez, I never thought I'd be involved in. I thought when I retired, I got away from this,
mm-hmm.
But apparently not. But it's something that it's not good for the neighborhood, not the way this is set up. And I think based on cost basis of what I'm seeing, you know, I get a little worried when I can't get a fire truck in someplace. And that's our biggest concern. I think it should be rejected forthwith. This going by EDUs and talking about surrounding neighborhoods, we were like the stepchild in this particular case where the water's going to drop 17 to 20 feet down into my front yard. And I don't think that's necessarily a good thing for everybody involved. Either way.
Okay.
And that's all I have.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For anybody else who would like to be heard?
Come on down, man.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. My name is Helena Dove. I live at 18663 Munchie Branch Road, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. And I am submitting this letter as an opposition to the proposed conditional use of application filed by Eric Chagrou for Big Trips LLC, CU number 1739, to build multifamily dwellings on the property owned on Munchie Branch Road in Rehoboth. My reasons are as follows. This particular property on Munchie Branch is a wetland designated property and already has drainage problems on the base of the culvert. The proposed development will do nothing but add to the already existing difficulties encountered during heavy rains. We already have experienced slight flooding at the bottom of the culvert, and the Del-Dot has been out and they've tried to rectify it. They have had little to no success. It still continues to flood. We do not need undesirable runoff going into these wetlands. Number two, I am for the land improvement, but as was stated, this project is going to be targeting first-time home buyers. The surrounding homes on Munchie Branch Road are not at the price range of first-time home buyers. Allowing this project to be approved would only depreciate our property value. The landowners on Munchie Branch, and there are many, would like this property to appreciate, and this project would eliminate that from happening. First-time home buyers deserve the opportunity to own a new home, but the price range in this area is far greater than what most home buyers are seeking to purchase. And just a sidebar, there was brought up a few moments ago about Fieldwood and Truvale Acres. Fieldwood property is a third of an acre, and what's been going on there is the properties that have been sold in that particular development have been, they've been removing the mobile homes that are on there, and they have been replacing them with either stick-built homes or modulars, which is therefore upgrading that area. Truvale Acres, which is across the street on south side of Munchie Branch, is experiencing the same thing. They are half-acre lots, and they are removing the old mobile homes and replacing them with either stick-built or modular, which there again is increasing the property value in our area. I feel that what is being proposed will not be appreciating the property value in our area. Number three, the property left for open space is not sufficient. The plan states 6 units, 3 buildings, with 2 homes per unit, enabling each unit to accommodate a family with 4 children and 4 pets. Maximum allowed in the HOA covenant that is written. Where will all the children, 6 units times 4 children equals 24 children, and pets, 6 units times 4 pets equals 24 pets. Where will they play? Where will they romp? Where will they have fun? With the wetlands so close to the proximity to the townhouses, it will be very dangerous for the safety of these children. The possibility of drowning is quite imminent. Not only the wetlands, but the retention ponds add another factor of safety for small children. Is this owner going to spray for insects and the larva that is sure to infest the retention ponds? There is also already great difficulty getting the owner of this property to do manicuring of the property. There is a clause in the HOA concerning the association fees stating that if they are not paid, that all manicuring will stop. Can you imagine what will happen if 24 animals are allowed to exist on the property and the grass has not been manicured and the garbage has not been picked up? This could become a very smelly mess. The owner has included the wetlands and retention ponds along with the driveways as open space. Where are the 24 children to play in such a small area near the wetlands? This can only lead to a catastrophe. Some families' small child is sure to be in harm's way. Number four, the last unit could be in jeopardy if a fire or other emergency occurs. The ingress and egress could not accommodate rescue equipment due to the size of the driveway, considering all of the vehicles allowed per unit. The covenant states three vehicles per unit.
What covenant? What are you talking, covenants?
The HOA. There has already been written. It was submitted.
Okay. Okay, doke. Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The covenant states three vehicles per unit. If you do the math, that will be 18 more cars or trucks using Munchie Branch Road. Munchie Branch Road is already overutilized by motorists. The road has no bike lane or pedestrian shoulder for current residents to walk safely or ride safely. Where will all the children ride their bikes? I own the property at the top of the hill, and the amount of traffic that travels this road is excessive. And we don't even need to talk about the speed of the cars that travel on this road. At any given time, any day of the week, there are cars that travel and bikes, motorcycles, in excess of 70 to 80 miles an hour. It's a straight shot from the top of the hill to Wolf Neck Road is a straight shot. And they can get up to that speed, whether they're coming from Wolf Neck or coming from the curb at Munchie Branch. It's terrifying. It's terrifying. Motorists have learned that the shortcut to Route 1 via Munchie Branch is easy. They can get on it at Webster's Furniture and get off at Webster's Furniture and drop back down onto Route 1 at Wawa or vice versa if they're going towards Rehoboth. Mm-hmm. I believe that there has been a little bit of talk about this, but I believe there definitely needs to be a traffic impact survey done, and I think that it should happen. Because of the growth that has gone on in the community and because of the addition of Wawa on the end of Wolf Neck Road. I hope that you will take all of the opposition into consideration before making your recommendation. I am not just complaining, but I'm trying to preserve our community.
Do you have any problems with the single-family homes on this site? I mean,
it doesn't make any sense. George is zoned for it anyway.
I know. Yeah, you're opposing this. I mean,
I'm opposing the way that it was set up. I'm opposing the fact that there's a possibility that there will be lack of upkeep on the property, and it has stated as I made a remark. It's stated in the covenants that if there is not the association fees, they're not being paid. And oftentimes with first-time home buyers, if you have you're going to feed your kids, you're going to pay your association fees. Well, what's going to get? You're going to feed your children. The maintenance will cease. And so we've already experienced that.
So you're saying that the type of ownership that they're offering here, as opposed to single-family home ownership, the condominium type ownership doesn't give you the same security?
Correct. Right? It's just the owner presently does not feel it necessary to take care of their property.
It's a rental unit right now. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay.
That is correct. And okay. The people that are there, at any given time, there can be 5 to 10 men living there, and there can be 5 to 7 to 8 cars parked on the lawn.
Okay.
And I don't know what the rental agreement is. I know these individuals happen to work for Mr. Chagrou.
Okay.
And they don't seem to be responsible for the upkeep on the property. And we have
grass cutting is an issue, but
right, we
that,
have it many times, and not only that, but and it's on record.
Okay.
There, many of us have at times because of the volume of the noise level,
mm-hmm.
have had to call in the police department to eliminate that. And Mr. Chagrou has stated that he wants to keep two of the units for to help house his employees. And these are very, very, very significant concerns for the community. Besides the fact of the wetlands, I think that is also a very large issue. But there are things that have not that need to be addressed. They maybe need to go back to the drawing board. I'm not sure. But as it stands right now, it shouldn't fly. Mm-hmm. It's very scary. The whole issue.
Is that your property there?
I am the one that that has the two multifamily.
You came in and asked for five last
year?
Yeah,
no, for 2005. And Planning and Zoning approved to the five, and County Council
gave you two.
Gave me two. Yes.
But they're multifamily.
That is correct.
But that's about to expire in November?
That is correct.
You have not done anything.
That is correct.
So they will no longer be in that area. So, so you didn't set any precedents.
I'm just a little surprised though, that you come in opposing multifamily,
I am opposed to the way, to the location of it, to the proximity of it being on wetlands. I am opposed to the fact that we're talking about 18 vehicles.
Yeah, but you were asking for five units on a much smaller piece.
But I did not get that. I did not get that. I got
you. You were trying to sell it at that point, right? Right. You were just trying to.
Oh.
Well, perhaps not. But anyway, I feel that we really need to look at. I also am in a different proximity. My land is parallel to Munchie Branch. There is no problem with ingress and egress, and that was addressed when I came to Planning and Zoning and when I came to County Council.
Okay.
There is no issue with that, and I sit right on. At the top of the hill, right on Munchie Branch Road, you would come in the driveway, and it's right there.
You've had a change of heart over the years.
No, actually not. I have actually had a change of financial capability because the market has
changed.
Yes, and when I originally came to Planning and Zoning, I had planned on a high-end issue, and what I had...
Your priority was better than hers. Is that what you're saying?
I'm sorry?
Your priority was better than hers?
Absolutely. That is trying to elevate the property value in the area where we are.
Okay.
That's okay? Okay?
Gotcha. Thank you.
And can I just add one more thing?
Sure.
My cousin is John Howard, and he's across the street, and he has the 5 1/4 acres. And they have been working to eliminate the antique vehicles that they have. Mr. Howard, John has had some health issues, and he has had open heart surgery, which has slightly put a halt to what's been going on there, but it will begin to continue. I believe he said in September they're going to make a strong effort to get it cleaned up. But he has had he's not here today because he's taking therapy for the open heart surgery he had. Okay? Thank you, gentlemen.
Anyone else wish to be heard? Everybody will have a chance.
Joan Deaver for Citizens for Better Sussex, and Aggie Stevenson didn't want to come, Mr. Cole, because she gets so nervous, but she also opposes this project. I don't understand how you can get all those units on that property if DelDOT requires turning apron, and it's been said over and over again, there's no turnaround, and... those two things, and the house that's on Munchie Branch Road, it's only some 48 feet off of the road, and I hope that we'll start asking for homes to be 100 feet off of the roads, because they often have to be widened, and we need the room to widen roads. There's no sidewalk called for, I hope.
They put a dual highway through there, maybe.
You know, you have to think. Look at Plantation Road, where the houses are almost on the road, and in order to widen Plantation Road, now you'll have to take people's homes. So I'm just thinking about the future, and this does not ask for sidewalks. And by the time you've gotten the turning apron, the turnaround, the sidewalks in, I think it should be right where it is right now with one home on it. That's what I think you should approve. Thank you.
Next.
I'm Faye Marsh. I live at 18685 Monte Branch Road. I have the property next to Mr. Sugaroo's. If I could come over here and show you. Mm-hmm. If this is the property line right here, there's there's 10 foot for the sewer. The sewer goes there, so I doubt if these trees or shrubs would be right there. And then they want to put up. I've handed in two letters opposing these units. It is inconsistent with other residences on Monte Branch and surrounding developments. They are single-family residents. Parking 3 per unit. Fire trucks, if needed, on property. I don't know how they would get in there on such a narrow road, and I feel sorry for the people in the back of it. This residence that's on there now was built in 92, and it's a two-story, and it has not been used as a single-family residence ever since Mr. Chagrou has bought the property. I called July 3rd for the first time to have the grass cut. The grass has not been cut since last year. I asked them, they tried to tell me that they went out last year and it was cut. And I said, well, I would like to know when the constable went out there, because it could have been May, and I'm talking about June, July, and August. But they didn't get back to me on that, and it's still not cut. It's a small road. It's heavy traffic, bicyclists, walkers. There's no sidewalks or marked off for bicycles or walkers.
Is that on Monte Branch, or are you talking about?
That's Monte Branch Road. Yes, I live right next door to that area. Now, trash pickup. Now, on the other side of me, there's William Martin, and they have a trash truck, and it goes in their driveway to the back, picks up their trash, and it backs out onto Monte Branch Road. Now, if the trash truck on Chagrou's property does the same thing, you've got the wooded area and the branch right there, and that is very dangerous. I mean, you're going to have accidents. Animals in the unit, 4 per unit, I find that, just unbelievable. If you have cats, people don't keep cats in all the time. If you have 4 and 6 places, you're going to have 24 cats. Somebody's going to be like Rehoboth, caging these cats to get them out of the neighborhood. I have seen 5 to 6 deer in the back of that yard because animals don't have anywhere else to go. I have 2 driveways, and the one lower next to Chagrou's, I pulled out, I got up to the branch, and 2 deers hit my car. Luckily, I was going slow, so it was just, they just hit their head, broke my taillight, things like that. But the animals have nowhere to go, and that's the wetlands. And then the thing that bothers me is what their construction is going to do to the surrounding people that owns property next to them. There's got to be, And then, as another thing, I want to show you when Mr. Morgan had the property. Now, I've lived there since March of 89, okay? And they were going to put the sewer down by the branch, and Ralph Morgan wanted it moved over to the other side. So they did that, okay? And so I called over to the county, and I said, how's this going to affect my property? Oh, it's all on him. It's not going to affect your property and everything. I'm going to show you pictures.
There's pictures? Put your hand them to me. I'll pass them down. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what are you talking about now, the sewer?
When they put the sewer in, when they put the sewer in, they assured me, I don't know when, they assured me that my property would not be, you know, messed with. And we actually had to call the police to keep them off the property, you know, because they because that was a pit. And
well, you have to stick to the project here.
Okay. I'm just saying, if I'm next door and they're going to have contractors coming in there, and, you know, they're going to have to build up probably in some places, and where's the runoff going to be? I don't want it to be on me. And as far as my property, okay, Linda and Gerald Howard had a trash and garbage business there for years. My husband and I bought it in March of 89. Blue Hen Towing was run out of there. Not impounded, but tow trucks on the office. I am disabled, and I got my house back, trashed, March of 2005, and ABRC Roofing does have an office there and his trucks. John Howard purchased his property from his father. That's where all the old vintage trucks and stuff like that is. He is cleaning it up. It does not look like what's in those pictures that I showed you. And Martin's Plumbing is on the other side of me. And so, and as far as being that Mr. Fuqua brought my name up, when my house was on the market, and this is my house, I made the mistake of using Glenn Piper, the appraiser. He was a real estate agent. Over the phone, he told me that Mr. Segru wanted to buy my property for $250,000 because he didn't want the house. He just wanted the land on it. Then August of 2006, I got a call, 6:15 in the morning, you know, of Holly Segru calling for her brother because she wanted to, you know, speak for her brother to buy my property. You know, do I have to worry about eminent domain or something here? He has not.
Somebody writes your check.
I want to tell you something. Yeah, but they don't want to give you what you should
not,
have.
That's not. That has nothing to do with us, though.
Well, that's.
You know, it has nothing.
That's
it. The county.
I can't believe you would actually pop that out. I figured you had more dignity, but.
What's yeah. that? That, you know, it's not our issue that if you can't get what you want. Our issue is tell us what you don't like about
the property. He didn't want my property. He wanted the property, not the house on it. $250,000. He bought the one as is for $370,000.
We're looking at, is it proper to put those units there?
Oh, that, and I want to tell you something.
Period. Okay.
He has his employees in there. He has not rented it out. He has his employees there. And before we even started calling on the grass, I was leaving my lower driveway, and there was a man urinating right outside of the house. So I was upset. I went back in, turned around at Carl's Corner, went back in my house. I talked to Ed Lohr, ABRC Roofing. And he said, "Hey, there's nothing you're going to do about it. Just, you know, let it go." I said, "Okay." I went on down to the post office. I got a call from him. He said, "You know, Faye," he said, "I just called the police." He said, "Another man was out there urinating." Now, this is his employees. And there's a lot of employees living there. And I don't think he's going to sell them. I think they're going to be full of his employees. And there's a lot of people living there.
For anyone else? Anyone else wish to speak? Let the record show that no one else has to be recognized. I believe this matter was deferred by the commission.
It was, Mr. Griffin.
It's your pleasure.
Make a motion we defer.
Second, gentlemen?
Second.
We move second that we defer action on waiting on planning and zoning's decision. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Duke?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes, motion passed. Thank you very much. Next, Lawrence.
The last item is change of zone, referred to as change of zone 1657.
All right, we'll start. Okay. Yeah, I haven't got them down, Mr. Duke's yet. There you go. Oh, one more.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, you want this too?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The last item is referred to as change of zone number 1657, an ordinance to modify condition number 10 imposed on ordinance number 1573 for change of zone number 1475. The application of Ribera Odyssey LLC for, and in quotes, the peninsula, a MRRPC medium density residential district residential plan community to extend the time to construct and open for use the golf clubhouse and nature center facilities. This application or proposal was also given consideration by the commission on July 10th of 2008. We heard comments from the County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division. We had a report from the Conservation District in reference to soil types and suitability of the soils. We received several letters in support of this time extension request. There were two letters received in opposition, one being from Richard L. Abbott Esquire, the Abbott Law Firm, LLC, representing Dennis and Carolyn Silicato, and also Dennis Baxter. Larry Goldstein was present on behalf of the Peninsula Long Neck LLC with Jim Fuqua, attorney, and gave testimony. Mr. Fuqua also supplied photographs, or 22 photographs of the amenities and an aerial photograph of a portion of the site and surrounding area. One party spoke in support of the application that was present and gave testimony. There were no parties present in opposition. The commission deferred action for further consideration and has yet to act on this application. For the benefit of council, I'll just pass down copies of the pictures that were submitted by Mr. Fuqua. That's all I have, unless you have questions.
Mr. Fuqua.
Gentlemen, for the record, my name is Jim Fuqua. I'm an attorney in Georgetown, and I represent the applicant. This is a relatively simple, straightforward request. It is a request for a modification of condition number 10 of the original approval of the Peninsula MRRPC. And as you gentlemen will recall, the Peninsula is approved as a 1,404 mixed residential use development with extensive recreational facilities and an 18-hole championship golf course. It was approved by the county in November of 2002. That approval was subject to 21 conditions, and we are requesting modification of condition number 10. Condition number 10 reads, quote, recreation facilities, namely tennis courts, swimming pool, community buildings, pathways, trails, and beaches, shall be constructed and open to use by the residents within 2 years from the issuance of the first building permit, a close quote. I want to stress that we are requesting a modification of this condition to extend the time for the construction of the golf clubhouse and the nature center, not a deletion of that condition. It is the intention that this still will be required to be done, but we're asking for some relief on the time period. Let me focus on the specific request. First of all, as intended by this condition and as intended by the peninsula itself, extensive recreation facilities and uses have been constructed, completed, and are being used at the peninsula. Mr. Lenk has handed down to you the pictures, and I think those pictures, you can see the, number one, what's there and the quality of what's there. There's an athletic center. The athletic center has an aerobics room, indoor pool and spa, a youth activity room, a fitness center, men's and women's massage and locker rooms, and men and women's showers and saunas. The racquet club has 8 tennis courts and a snack bar and a basketball court. The aquatic center has an outdoor pool with 2 spas and a wave lagoon and a beach. There's a fishing pier, boardwalks, water taxi pier, and community trails. Lakeside Village is an area that includes a post office. There's a restaurant called the Terrace Grill and the Pro, the golf shop headquarters. And then, of course, there's the 18-hole Jack Nicklaus golf course and practice range. As I said, all those facilities are completed and open for use. The cost of those improvements was in excess of $40 million. The only facilities that have not yet been built are the golf clubhouse and the nature center. And they're the two items we're requesting the time extension on. There's two main reasons for this request, and not to be smart, but the first one is economic, and the second one is economic. I'm going to assume that everyone acknowledges that we are in a significant economic slowdown at this time. If it's not an actual recession, it's close to it, and if it keeps up, somebody's going to start calling it a depression pretty soon. That economic condition was led by and probably caused by a decline in the residential housing market associated also with the mortgage financing crisis. And this is probably the most severe housing downturn that has occurred in our lifetime. It's a fact, you know, from watching the news that it's not over. It's continuing, and I think you gentlemen have all probably personally dealt with this in your own businesses and jobs. That's the state of things in 2008. Now, back in 2002, when we were in here with this project and receiving approval for this project, it was a different economic world. When the peninsula was approved, the projections were far different than what has occurred. And to give an example, one of the other conditions of approval for the peninsula was condition number two. And what condition number two said was that it restricted the certificates of occupancy for the peninsula to 300 per year. So it held back the development to only 300 per year. Now, assuming construction started about 2004, if those heady expectations had been met, we'd be looking at 1,300 units at the peninsula at this point in time. Now, in reality, there's 400 residential units that have been sold. And
so number two really didn't have any impact on it.
It didn't restrict us to 300 a year. We didn't hit the ceiling on that one.
Okay.
But my point being, had things gone as what was thought then, you know, we'd have another 1,200 units or 1,000 units or so in there.
My figure wrong, right?
Yeah, I'd say so.
That's about right.
So roughly, from the higher expectations, about a third of what was anticipated is what's happened. And basically, in the current economic circumstances, the facilities, quite frankly, in the developer's point of view, are not needed, and sales have not occurred to a sufficient level that can fund and support some of the facilities. In addition, in this market right now, it is difficult, if not impossible, to finance some of these types of improvements. Now, that's economic hardship to developer, which I know I'm not going to get a lot of sympathy for. However, it is the reality, and I mean I certainly understand, but it is the reality of where things are, and we do know that.
We feel for you.
Thank you. The second reason is also economic, and this is economic on the peninsula residents. The developer is responsible for the construction of these facilities, but when these facilities are completed, there'll be an increasing responsibility on the members of the club, the owners in the peninsula, to pay for the expense and operation and maintenance of the improvements. Now, if you spread that expense over enough owners, it's an acceptable expense. If you spread it over too few owners, it's a burden. The developer discussed this with some of the owners who attended a homeowners meeting last November. It was explained to them. It was received fairly favorably. And basically, it's an opinion of the developer and many of the owners that the facilities are not needed right now or not appropriate right now in light of the economic cost that would be incurred. Now, rather than argue that point, I'm just going to refer to what Mr. Lank stated. There were emails and letters that were sent to the file. I'd suggest you look at those. There's a stack of them in there, basically in support of our request for a modification. And again, they speak for themselves, but many of the owners basically are supporting this because of the economic burden that would result. At a prior meeting, there's a letter in the file from Mr. Abbott, who's an attorney at Wilmington. He represents Dennis Silicato. Mr. Silicato had expressed his opposition to this request. He is an owner. He has every right to express his opposition. He would like to see these facilities built right now. And I would represent to you that the developer would like to see these facilities built right now, and the owners would like to see these facilities built right now. And it's not a question of that. It's a question of whether it's feasible from an economic and practical point of view at this time. You can see from the pictures that the golf clubhouse, the facilities down there are significant. They're first class. This isn't a situation where something is being really cut back on. Everything is really being created as planned, and what we're looking for is some relief on the timing of these other improvements. The modification itself, what we're talking about is the golf clubhouse construction. We're requesting that it commence when there's 500, what we're referring to as golf club memberships. That's the same thing as 500 sales, because people become members of the...
In any part of the... Right. Of the peninsula.
Right. Whether the whole, there's townhouses, there's lots, there's homes.
Yeah. Well, why don't you change that word from members to 500 units so we know that we can count something, because there could be a change going on somewhere, some legalese where you change some terminology and a member and a unit, you know, right. And doesn't mean the same thing.
That discussion came up with planning and zoning because... For calculation purposes, and I don't disagree with
just
that. Well, when there's so many units, you'd be able to tell. You know, so many lots
and
of
a unit,
units.
Though, is a unit
in out of that
town. Well, when I say a unit, I mean there's 1,404
one,
approved.
What? I mean,
on 500.
One, no matter what?
One per unit.
And how many have you
house
built?
Or count.
Out of the 1,400, only how many are built?
But there's 400 that are approximately 400 that are sold. So there's other ones that are built, but they're inventory.
1,000 more units to be built?
No.
They're asking... To delay until they sell 100 more.
Yeah, it'd be additional 100 units to be sold.
The confusion that the commission got into, because the word was stated as golf memberships, and there's different types of golf memberships, and they explained that, and it worked. It made.
Didn't want to make this too complicated, but this is what it is. In smaller developments, you have an HOA that runs everything. It's different at the peninsula because of its size. You have an HOA that runs some things, but the club is a separate entity. So people who belong to the club, everyone has to belong to the club, but not everyone has to join the golf course.
Right. They have to pay the dining bill.
Right. You can be a tennis member. You can be different types of memberships and things like that. So however you define it, but we're talking about 500 units, basically. Now, the other thing, there's also a nature center, which was a nice proposal to have down there. It's going to be for education purposes and things like that. So it's the golf clubhouse construction and the nature center. What I'm proposing, I had language here in a proposed modification. I'm saying leave the condition exactly the way it is, but add to it, except, and that's what requires everything within 2 years, except that the golf clubhouse shall commence construction when 500 golf club memberships have been attained, or if you want to change that to 500 units have been sold. And the nature center shall commence construction upon completion of the golf clubhouse. And I'll submit that to you for your consideration. I do want to, the only other thing I want to add is, going back to this condition itself, where did it come from? Well, obviously, the council imposed this on the RPC approval. Where did the council get it from? It was in the planning and zoning recommendation of approval. Mm-hmm. That was the condition. So that's where you got it from. Where did the Planning and Zoning Commission get it from? And it's right in the minutes of the Planning and Zoning Commission. Mm-hmm. I wrote it. Mm-hmm. I wrote it and submitted it.
I hope you're representing them then today for free.
Let's not go there, Jim.
You give them bad advice like that.
I wrote it, and, you know, in hindsight, that was kind of what we were doing at the time in the state of the art. But as you recall, most developments are 150, 200 units, you know, like that. There were two large ones at that time. One was the Peninsula, and the other one was Americana Bayside.
Absolutely.
And in looking back on it, with much more facilities like that, it really should be geared more toward the phasing of the development as opposed to a timeline.
Valuable lesson to go on.
Well, no, you want to make it even more embarrassing? And this is all in the record, the approval for Americana Bayside, which is in that file, which you probably recall I also did, that condition is geared toward phasing.
Right.
And, well... I don't have it right here, but basically what it says is...
XYZ phases.
I got it.
You got it there, Lawrence?
Yeah.
You want to bash them a little while you're doing it, Lawrence?
I got to find it first.
Okay.
Let's see. Americana Bayside had 24 conditions of approval. the right one?
No.
They had a maximum number of units, they had a maximum amount of commercial, residential certificate occupancy shall not exceed 200 annually. Site plan review entrances, recreational facilities, an example, golf, tennis courts, swimming pools, et cetera, shall be constructed to coincide with construction phases scheduled and subject to review and approval of the commission.
And I wrote that one also.
You know what I think's going on here? You came in with projects that were way too big for the marketplace, way too big for the areas they were proposed, and here it's come back to bite you guys. So I don't feel real sympathetic to you.
I guess, Jim, I got... Are you all done your presentation, Jim, or...
You're like a mouse back there.
He's going forward, I can't hear.
The one on American Base, I was the one in... This application, though, too.
Yeah, again, that pretty much is it. Okay. The point is, we're not asking to be relieved of it. We're asking for it to be modified till when there's 500 units sold, which is approximately another 100 units. The construction time, from what was stated before, once construction begins on it, it'll take a year to 15 months to complete the facility. It's going to be a very nice facility. The fact of the economy right now is what it is. I mean, I can't change it, and that's what it is. As I said, in hindsight, it should have been a similar condition to Americana Bayside, but it was basically self-inflicted to a certain degree, and it was perhaps a little higher expectations than...
I guess, Lars, I got one question, and it could be a combination here. You said, Jim, you started in 2004 construction. Is that correct, Lars? So you got the first...
I said approximately. I don't know the date. That was about it.
They had the rezoning approval in 2002, and it was probably 2 years before they broke ground with... any units.
Right.
The initial
So theoretically, they should have started in 2006?
Yes. Well, yeah, within two
now
years.
Now it's 2008. That's 4 years. I don't understand. I mean, I do understand economic times now. But if they'd done what they were supposed to do, it would have been done already. Right?
It should have been.
I mean, I know you're just a middleman here, but, I mean, that's the bottom line. You had nothing into it other than writing it, you know. That should have been in 2006. It should have been started.
Yeah, and I will say this: when we did the application, that this clubhouse design wasn't determined yet. There was going to be a clubhouse,
right?
And the design of this clubhouse, which is a very substantial facility, was really done after approval and everything else when they firmed it up. So,
right.
You know, it's more than was originally. Well. What originally was planned wasn't even planned yet, so we don't even know what it was going to be.
But it was part of the condition.
It was part of the conditions that anything was going to be done.
They thought the golden goose was still laying eggs, right. So they put the super colossal model out there, and
but unlike,
now they wish they didn't do it.
Unlike that smaller development where if you didn't build this pool or you didn't build the tennis court, there isn't anything. I mean, this has things that obviously from the pictures you can see are above.
I'm pretty sure the homeowners' dues are a little higher than the other ones, too.
Yes, they are.
Absolutely.
Yes, they are. But... Okay. Again, despite all that background, where we are today is where we are today, and it's not a real good spot.
Yeah, you're nay, or you're in violation, right? That's about the bottom line. Okay.
Is there anyone else here who would like to speak in support of this application?
Support? Yes, sir. Come on down, sir.
Certainly.
Yeah. Good afternoon. For the record, my name is John Kripschweit. I live at 27554 South Nicholas Avenue, Millsboro. That is in the peninsula.
Okay.
That is my only home. Unlike many of the people who live there, that's a second home. My wife and I, when we decided to retire at that time from government work in Maryland after I spent 31 years as a teacher and 8 years working for Anne Arundel County government. She worked for the government after entering the business. We decided to find the best place we could find to retire, and it turned out to be here in Sussex County. So that's where we live, and I'll be honest, there's nothing we're wanting for there. I mean, as Ernie has explained.
Are you a golfer?
I had not been until we lived here, last March.
Okay.
We decided to become golf members.
Okay.
After watching people play by the house as badly as we thought we might play if we decided to learn. So we're just learning. I mean, I'm 3 months, and I can almost hit the ball now. So
you're just still killing grass.
Yeah. But I have aspirations that someday I'm actually going to hit it and have it go where I want it to go. But we swim, since we're there full-time, we're there in the wintertime when a lot of other people aren't. Fantastic athletic club, the indoor pool. We have water aerobics classes. Last Friday, we had a drive-in movie on the golf course. We got in golf carts, drove down, and so on. I mean, there's no lacking for amenities. But back to one of the things I wanted to say that was pointed out, you know, the economics of those 400 of us that live there now, should they build, you know, the big clubhouse with the banquet facilities and the bigger restaurant and all those other things that we're really not lacking for, somebody's going to have to pay for that. My dues are going to go up. I don't want to see that happen. I'm certainly willing to pay my share of the costs among 1,000 people or 1,200 people. You know, it's going to be It's going to be 500 as it goes now. But with the number of people that we have right now, not everybody's going to be, you know, not everybody's as fluent as I am. I really don't want to pay a great big burden for something that is nice, but really isn't missing as far as all the amenities we have.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Is it possible there's maybe not a need for a clubhouse? I mean, it seems to me when I look at what's the amenities they have there, it seems like they've got everything housed in these buildings, and you've got a lot there now. I mean, what's a clubhouse? Maybe the clubhouse, maybe that's the request we should be hearing is we don't want a clubhouse.
When the community grows, you know, when we bought, the economy was growing, we thought everything was going up. I'm sure the developers thought the same thing.
Oh, of course they did.
I've, you know, looked at development plans. We knew what we were getting into. At the point where there are a lot more members and during the summer, I can see the need for banquet facilities, for another restaurant. Right now on the weekends in the summer, it can get a little bit crowded. But right now it's not. Right now it's perfectly adequate for the number of people that are using the facilities.
They're actually there.
I know one of the things in the plan is to have a small deli in the community. Right now we have to go a mile down. I'm being a little facetious, but we don't have to go too far to get anything we need. And I think that that's being housed like where the pro shop is now. That's the impression that I have. So it would be nice to add that now. But remember, we have 400 out of 1,400. We don't need all those things now. Certainly, we're looking forward to them in the future. We're looking forward to the economy turning around and things starting to grow again. Because just like the developer, we don't want to see the, you know, the vacant lots around the community. We want to see the whole thing built out. That's what we were buying into. We knew it was going to take a little while. We didn't anticipate the slowdown, but we're living with it and we understand.
Okay. Question, John? Thank you, sir.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak either in support or in opposition? Yes.
Go on down, sir.
My name is Bruce Atkins, and this is my wife, Audrey. And we love the peninsula. We've been there since 2005. I recognize that in today's financial situation that building the kind of clubhouse that they're talking about is probably not very practical at this point. On the other hand, the nature tracks, trails, and all are probably 80% complete, but are closed off because they haven't been completed. There's a network of walks, raised walks, that goes around the edge of the peninsula. And there also are a couple of fishing piers that have been damaged in recent times. And I think that it would be appropriate to go ahead and make those completions. The completions would be to finish up the raised walks that they have around these areas. And it would cost money in the neighborhood of, I don't know, $10,000, $20,000 total to do that. And I think a lot of the people at the peninsula would appreciate having those amenities complete. And I think most people recognize that it's going to be more difficult to come up with whatever the golf course building is going to be, which is something of an order of magnitude above that. Right. So that's a recommendation that I would make to the peninsula people. I've talked to the fellow who was the general manager of it
until recently, and he's no longer with them. And it would be...
A bunch of them not no longer with him.
Yeah, right. Yeah, there are a lot of people no longer with him, I guess. But those would be amenities that are 70-80% complete. There's a lot of people just like to walk and walk on those raised walks around the edge of the peninsula. Mm-hmm. I don't know who would...
I don't know if we have any time frame on stuff like that when we did this
part, it's part
project.
Of it. Part of number same. Two. Huh? Same. I think Mr. Fuqua said number two, if I'm right. Is that correct?
Part of the same condition. Yeah.
I'll pass that on. I do know that back, it was in April or early May, there was a northeaster. I know there was a bunch of damage done.
Yeah, that's part. But there's also an incompletion of those raised ramps that run around.
I know it was some damage.
And it doesn't take, it's not going to take $100,000 to fix those up. It would be a relatively modest thing, and I think the people who are there, those of us, we also live there full time. My wife and I moved down there full time from Westchester, Pennsylvania. And
well, if we heard those got fixed, it might influence this vote. You know, you never know.
Excuse me. No. Okay, he's just being smart. Yeah.
If I could add for this gentleman and the other gentleman, and I forgot to say this, that's the only reason I'm speaking again. Larry Goldstein was at the planning and zoning meeting
right. And
did testify there. He was going to be here today. A family thing came up, emergency, that he had to go over to Washington this morning. He did ask me to tell you that he was sorry he wasn't here, but he's not trying not to be here. But he's accessible to the folks.
I got one question, Jim, and I know this Jim probably has, you know, we give him a heart attack every week almost. I mean, or we get him excited. But, you know, it's the developer has... You know, certainly owns a huge amount of projects still, I assume.
Oh, yes.
So in the voting power, he actually has still the swing vote, for lack of a better word?
Yeah, it's normally set up where it's a controlling interest until a certain amount of sales.
Right. So I can pretty well say, okay, you 400 people, the vote is XYZ because I got the hammer. Is that pretty much? I mean, it could be.
No, again, I think, if you look at the emails that were sent in, it's not a form email. If you look at the email, everybody did their own email. I mean, I would suggest you look at it because I think it really kind of gives a general attitude of the folks down there. And you can hear just from these people, I mean, people down there love living there.
Right.
And they recognize it. Okay, we are here in 2008 in the situation we're in, and let's work our way out of it. And we're all doing the same thing, I think.
Lars, is our amenities, I know the roads are bonded and the sewers bonded and all that kind of stuff, but is the amenities?
Oh, we actually had staff down there almost the whole day
inspecting
the site. They found that almost everything was complete except the nature center and the pier associated with the nature center and the clubhouse.
Right.
And the trails, and I have a little report here from January of 2008 that was submitted, I believe, to the members through a committee meeting within the peninsula itself. And they listed everything that was built and when. I mean, the clubhouse of April of 06, the golf shop, the post office, the terrace grill, April of 06. The aquatic center, including the outdoor pool and spa, was May of 06. The outdoor spa B is labeled of May of 07. The wave lagoon and beach was May of 07. The racquet club had snack bar and six courts built in May of 06 and two additional courts in May of 07. The athletic center, the fitness center, the aerobic room, the indoor pool and spa, the youth activity room, male and female massage and locker rooms, male and female showers and saunas were all done in October of 06. In reference to the piers and the Bay Beach, the water taxi pier was built in May of 06, the fishing pier April of 06, the Nature Center boardwalks May of 07. The beach was completed in May of 06. And the pathways, the community pathways referenced by the gentleman previous, 75% complete and open. The nature trails, they were open in May of 07. So he said 80%, they've probably done some improvements since January. And as far as future amenities, they reference the clubhouse and the nature center up here. So pretty much everything's done. That's what staff found, pretty much.
Okay.
Make a motion, we defer.
Mr. Griff, you got anything else?
Lady coming down. Hold it.
Hang on just a sec.
Hold it.
Good afternoon.
My name is Audrey Atkins. I do live at the peninsula, and it's a lovely place, very lovely, except there's nobody there. And we, the
people... You don't have to worry about traffic.
Yeah, that's true. But the people that are there will be picking up the burden, and it would be a big burden. Not everybody is sitting in that big house where the person that wants it can probably pick up a lot of the share of the bill. But I think that it should... I am in support of not having the clubhouse built. There's no need. You would be sitting there and looking at walls. There's not enough people. The only thing that I would like to say is the Nature Center building, I think, should not be built at this time either. But I support my husband, where the piers, you try to walk, and all of a sudden, it's not tied together. It needs just that little tie-in so that people can use the piers and feel as though they don't have to jump down because it doesn't end. Just tie it in, that's all. And that's all I have to say.
Thank you very much, ma'am. Mr. Griffin, any other questions?
Is Mr. Fuqua going to do any of these tie-ins with these piers?
He's going to take care of
them. He will support, yeah. He'll ride his bike down and do it, right, Jim? Yeah, absolutely.
They fired everybody else. The only one they got left is the lawyer.
It's only one they can afford, right?
He'll probably be sending me down to help you, Jim.
Yeah. After today, yeah.
Folks and gentlemen.
I think I had a motion to defer over here by Mr. Cole.
Right.
Yeah, I made a motion to defer.
Okay. Second.
Just move to second to defer. Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Duke.
Yes.
Mr. Rogers.
Yeah.
Yes.
Make a motion we adjourn.
Second.
Move to second that we adjourn. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Unless you want to vote on that community county band proposal.
What county
band?
Band.
Turn that off. I want to ask him something.
County band. We get a